Last week we, all right, so last 2 weeks, I put a top thing, a little bit of review on here, so we've really dealt with the two main points of feeding. Tonight will be kind of the interplay of the both and how they kind of work with each other and will lead to all sorts of applications. So the first week we discussed the idea of liquids, the idea of kli rishon, kli sheni, kli shlishi, idea that we have the primary vessel, something on the fire or something that was on the fire. I mean, that you have a pot of water or something of water that was on the fire, directly on the fire, that's a kli rishon, that can cook. Assuming it's still yatsa lettuce, though, assuming the water is still hot, we consider it that it is able to cook, and that if it's a kli sheni, so we talked about that in theory it shouldn't cook, but then we said that really it could because of a somewhat ambiguous line in the Gemara where it says we don't really know what it can't and what it could. So then we came up with the idea of a kli shlishi, the tertiary vessel, and we discussed that there's a dispute between Rav Moshe Feinstein and perhaps others who doubt the authenticity of such a possibility. Okay, so that was the first week. The second, and its applications to making tea and soup and those kinds of things. This last week we spoke about the idea of, well, chazara, first we talked about the idea of shehiya, the idea of that we shouldn't just leave things cooking on a fire unless they're fully cooked before Shabbos. According to some Rishonim, it doesn't have to be that way, but according to what we do, if something is on the fire from before Shabbos, we don't generally leave anything directly on a fire before Shabbos. Perhaps the only exception might be water in an urn or something like that. But other than those things, generally speaking, we'll try to always employ a blat. Nothing will be directly on a fire, and that way we avoid the issue of Shema Yechata B'Gchalim, that perhaps we will come and stoke the coals. Of course, the modern-day equivalent is Shema I may come to turn the gas up and down, to turn the flame up and down, and that's something that we want to avoid on the Shabbos. Okay, so that's one concern that we have to do. So whenever we want to deal with a fire on Shabbos, with regards to a fire that is existent, so we have to make sure that that problem is taken care of. That was the first thing we dealt with last week. And the most common way of dealing with that is with a blech, right? Is with something that is going to remind us, halachically is going to remind us, not to play around with that fire. We discuss whether that means removing whether that has to do with the knobs or whether it has to do with the flame. But either way you go, there has to be some kind of blech that is employed in order to avoid the issue of, right, playing around with those coals, playing around with the amount of heat. Right, so that allowed us to. So if something is going to be left, on a fire from before Shabbos, it has to have one of two things. It either has to be cooked, right, or there has to be a blech. Okay, we good so far? The second issue we dealt with is that there's also something called mechsa kimavashel, that it looks like you are cooking. Right, so in addition to the problem, even once we have gotten out around the problem of the, I'm going to play around with the coals, we still have a problem that I can't do a cooking type activity. So what is that? So what we spoke about last week was, according to most Rishonim at least, that taking something out of the fridge, taking something that is cold, right, and putting it onto a fire, heating it up again, right? So assuming it's solid. If it's liquid, we can't do that, right? We'll assume for now, that you could re-cook liquids, right? If I have water that cooled off, I could re-cook those liquids, and that would be a whole big problem. We don't want to do any of that. But what about solids? So solids, there's a clear idea of yein bishel achar bishel. There is no cooking, right? I can't cook it. Right? Once it's cooked, it's cooked. Once my potato kugel is cooked, right, it's done. It can't be cooked anymore. Right? So then what are the two issues I have to deal with? Well, the two issues are, number one, I still have this issue of the coals, right? So with that I will avoid a blech. And the second issue I have to deal with is mechsa kimavashel. I can't look like I'm cooking. So we generally assume that if I take that potato kugel that was cold, that was laying out there someplace, it was in my fridge, and I put it onto a blech, I have a problem of mechsa kimavashel. Right, so I wouldn't take anything out of the fridge and put it directly onto a blech. Right, so how do I avoid the mechsa kimavashel issue? So I have two ways. So either I put it onto a flame in a way that I would never cook. Right, so if I'm using a blech, I would put it on top of another pot. Right, no one would ever cook by putting a pot on top of another pot. That's called kedera al gabi kedera, pot on top of a pot. So if I have a blech and then I have something else on the blech, I could put it on top of that. Or the second thing we talked about was a non-adjustable hot plate, something where it would be impossible for me to, A, to adjust the heat, or B, that no one would ever cook in such a fashion. So if we have a non-adjustable hot plate, so in theory we avoid both of those problems, and we could put things onto those as well. Okay? On the in the 39 Melachos book, I saw he's not so thrilled about putting things directly onto a hot plate. He requires a blech on the hot plate, meaning to, but he says you could use a piece of tin foil for that, which is recommended anyways for hygienic purposes and for perhaps for Pesach purposes. What?
Cleaning up.
For cleaning up afterwards, right? That's what I meant. Okay.
But why is it now? Go back. Why is it that the reservation about put the foil before the?
Yeah. I noticed that after the shiur last week. I haven't looked at it since. Let me just see quickly if I could find it. Talk about the hot plate here. Hesi Kedera, Kedera Blech, he's not a fan of the Kedera Blech. Why is it that that's a problem? Let's just see. Give me 27 more seconds. If you don't find it, it will be okay. Hot plate. Crock pots and hot plates. Okay. So, no. Right, here, okay, he has the line. If an electric cooking appliance has no setting controls, it does not technically require a blech. So leaving the food cooking on a single temperature hot pot or hot plate is not considered shihiyah because there's no possibility that one may come to adjust it on Shabbos. Let's see, nevertheless, the food should be fully... So maybe he was only talking about an adjustable hot plate.
Does burning the food constitute cooking more?
If you're ruining the food.
Well, like some hot plates are really hot. So
right.
If you put your kugel right on
it. Yeah.
Burn.
So we said that a stomach viralo is not something that we want to do. That if you're cooking it to enhance it, so then that might be an issue according to some Rishonim. But if you're really going to be ruining it, so then it's not a problem. However, I don't recommend ruining food either. That's just maybe a man's perspective.
but is that called cooking?
So don't have to worry about it. Assuming you're not trying to get it done, so you wouldn't have to worry about it. Okay, so those are the issues that we have to worry about so far, right? Cold water should not be reheated. Okay, that's A. And then when we talk about reheating food, so far we have two issues to deal with. Number one, the stoking the coals business, and the second thing that we have to deal with is the idea of mechzik mevashel, that looks like we're cooking. Okay, so I think adkan shirim 1 and 2. So now there is one other consideration within cooking that we did not really that we have not addressed yet, and that is the first source on the page. Okay, that there is something called also speeding up the cooking process. Okay, so alfas v'hakedera. So if you have a pan or a pot, right? Shehavirun mirodchin me'algabe ha'or. That if shehavirun mirodchin, what? That it was transferred from the fire. Okay, imlo nisbashel kol tzorcho ein motzien bekaf mehen. That if it was not completely cooked, I'm not supposed to use a cup. Shenimtza megis, because that will turn. I'm not supposed to use a ladle. I'm sorry, I'm not supposed to dish out with a ladle. Shenimtza megis, because it will look like we are mixing it. Ve'ika mishum mevashel. But and it will turn out that you are then cooking it. Meaning, if I have a mixture that some of it is cooked and some of it is not cooked, and it's in a kli rishon, meaning that has the ability to cook. Right, and I mix it together, so I am now speeding up the cooking process of that which has not been cooked yet. Okay, so that's number one. I shouldn't mix it. And number two, he has a second chumrah here that just ladling, just sticking in a ladle and taking out food in that way is also a problem of hagasa, is also a problem of mixing. Okay, but this is so far, he's only talking about when you have part of the pot is hot and part of the pot is cold. Okay? Kol tzarcho mutter. However, in this special kol tzarcho mutter, but if it's completely cooked, I mean, the whole thing is cooked, so it doesn't matter that I'm mixing it around anymore. There's nothing left to cook. Right? So in this special kol tzarcho, it should be mutter. Aval tzemer liyore afal pisha kolen ha'ayin aser lahagispo. This is talking about dyeing. If you have wool that's in a dye, even if it looks like it's all blue already, even if it looks like it's already dyed, you're not supposed to mix it anymore. The only reason he's putting that here is that that's the source for hagasa. The source for this issue is not in the laws of Bishul, but is rather learnt out from the laws of dyeing on Shabbos. D-Y-I-N-G, right? D-Y-E-I-N-G, dyeing clothing on Shabbos. Okay? So it's learned out from that halacha. So just as there, if you mix it, you're considered as if you're doing things more. So too, with the hot food also, it's considered as if you're cooking it more. Okay? So if a thing is totally cooked, so far we don't have to worry about this halacha. However, comes the Ramah, right, Haga, comes the Ramah, v'lechachila yesh li zaher af b'kedera b'chol inyan. However, lechatchila, one should be careful with a pot, no matter what. Right? It's sounding like, even though it is already cooked, even if it looks like it's already cooked, right, there is still a problem of mixing it. So why would there possibly be a problem at that point? What am I doing? What could I possibly be doing?
What are you mixing? We're talking about something that's drying,
aren't you? Let's say a chulant. Let's say you have a chulant. Right? Okay, so what's he saying here? If it's on a fire, so far, well, we haven't really talked about if it's on fire, but if it's on fire, right, so he is saying that even though it's fully cooked, you're not allowed to mix it anymore. Okay, and by extension, by the way, based on the first line of the Shulchan Aruch, when we prohibit mixing, we are also prohibiting ladling. Right? Plus the concern is if you ladle out, so you're going to be mixing as well. So if it's totally cooked, what could my concern possibly be at this point?
Redistributing the heat.
That you're redistributing the heat, but it's all cooked, so what's the big deal? But it's all hot already. No, it's all hot already. It's a chillin'. It's been in a crock pot. What could be the problem at that point?
It appears as though you're cooking.
It appears as if you're cooking. Interesting. It may be a possibility. Yeah?
Because you take a ladle out, put stuff on a ladle, and you put it back in, it's going to cook that.
Yeah, but we assume that stuff is still warm.
Assuming that you took the pot off the heat?
No. We're not taking the pot off the heat yet.
You open the pot?
The rules here is everything's mutter until proven aser. Okay, so we haven't talked about that. The taking the pot off and taking the top on and off is learned out from this halacha. Okay, we're not there yet. Okay, so what could be the problem now with mixing if it's already cooked?
It's the question of whether it is already cooked.
Okay, so the Kolbo writes, the Sefer Kolbo, which, I don't know, can you imagine writing a Sefer? It means Kolbo. All is in it. That's what he wrote. That's the name of the song. Cool, that takes a lot of guts. This is a Rishon. This is some of the Ramah quotes and the Yobes Yosef quotes from 1200s. The Sefer, the Kolbo. So he writes that our concern is that it looks like it's hot. It feels like it's hot. It smells like it's hot. But it could be that there are pockets that are not so hot. So therefore, that's why he warns this prohibition of Hagasa even when it comes to something that is completely cooked. Okay, that is the statement of the Kolbo. And he's somewhat accepted. Okay, that is somewhat accepted. Now, many would disagree, right? There's many levels. Just let's keep in mind something, because it's going to be important, because otherwise you may kill me later on. There's many levels of chumrah here. We have to recognize that. Number one, even something, right? Number one, it's already completely cooked and nothing, in theory, should happen. Number two, Number two is that, right, this is only would be a problem if there's these, like, cold pockets, which perhaps even doesn't exist. Number three, the only thing that we would, that the Gemara really talked about was mixing it up. The Gemara did not talk about ladling. There are Rishonim that came along and said, aha, maybe one shouldn't ladle either. So even though, right, the Ramah says, and then we're going to quote the Mishnah Berurah in a second, says it, right, recognize that it's chumra al gabi chumra, right? It's a stringency on top of another, stringency on top of another, stringency. That perhaps one should be choshish for. Yeah.
What's the problem with the cold pockets? It's already cooked.
Cold pockets of food. Cold pockets of food.
What's the difference?
Because we're heating those spots. We're cooking those spots.
They're already cooked.
No, apparently they're not already cooked. Think about the children. This comes up the most often with the children. All right. So keep in mind the children.
After
12
hours.
So his claim is that. It's a little difficult to fathom. It's a little difficult to fathom. And it's unclear whether he really passed like it or not. Yes?
It's physically impossible, I think.
Maybe.
Go back to Barry's comment that says, it looks like you're cooking. You shouldn't look like you're cooking, because you already took care of that.
No. The blech doesn't take care of not looking like cooking. The blech takes care of that I'm going to take care of the coals. So think about our crockpot of children. So I'm covering up the thing, and I'm putting a blech in the middle. I'm putting a tinfoil thing in the middle, so I got my blech, right? But that's only that I won't stoke the coals. I won't adjust the flame. But I still have the problem that it's looking like cooking. The looking like cooking issue... The general reason we say is this cold pockets business. I noticed in this footnote here, he said, V'od yesh tam, and I didn't have a chance to read it. I think it might have been that, though. I glanced at it quickly. It might have been your reason, but I'm not sure at this point. I don't want to move on. We can take a look right afterwards. Okay. So the Mishnah Berurah comes along, and he explains what's going on here with this idea. So rather, what should we do? Af hakedera. My af right? L'chachil yish lizar af b'kedera in any pot. El yafo hakedera l'kara v'lo yotzi b'kaf. Rather, what should we do? We should pour it out, right? And don't put in the ladle. V'ayin b'achronim v'lo nihigin l'hachmir b'zeh. Check out the achronim who aren't machmir on this. They don't take this chumra. The be'emes ha'ikr k'moshe kasav d'mitchila d'mevushal kol tzar ha'fiu l'hagis butter. Because really, me ikr adin, really the halacha should be, and it makes a lot of sense, which most people here would agree, and Mark Zohar claims is the only thing that's physically possible, right? Is that once something is mevushal kol tzar ha, once you mix it, there's nothing to worry about. It's okay. Right, so v'harotza lahachmir yachmir behagasa mamish. Right, and those that want to be machmir should be strict. Should really only be strict when it comes to mixing. Avalahotzi bekaf ein lahachmir klal. But to take out with a spoon, one shouldn't have to be machmir on. But it's mashal kol tzorcho ve'eino al ha'esh. One shouldn't have to be machmir at all when it's completely cooked. And it's no longer on the fire. Right? So those are important words at the end, that it's no longer on the fire. And let's hold that thought for a minute as we learn a slightly separate din. Okay, so everybody is clear on that. Everybody's good so far, right? So we have this machmir.
If it's not on the fire, does that mean that it's a pot on the pot?
If it's... A pot on a kedera agave kedera. I would guess, although I'm not sure I'd be ladling anything when it's on top of another pot. What?
Why not? Well,
when you're using
foil tray, right?
I hear. I don't know. It's a good question. I'm not sure what the post would say about that. Rav Moshe will be a literalist when it comes to this and give us a different kula, but he doesn't give you that kula. He gives you a different kula. Okay, we'll talk about it in a second. Just for a show of hands, how many people here are blech people versus plata people? Blech people? Who uses blech still?
What kind of a blech?
On the burners, yeah. Yeah.
We use both.
And versus a hot plate. How many are hot plate people?
I use them too.
Wow. Okay. So we still have some black people, but we've mostly done the hot plate switch. Okay. Let the record show. We are 75% hot plate people. Okay. So fine. okay. So let's take one other thing right now. When the question came up over the last 2 weeks, I think from the Stieglitzes, about the different parts of the blech that we didn't really clarify. I'm not sure we were completely clear on it. So some spell out the idea that there's really three parts to a blech. Bottom, top, no. There's the part that is directly on the flame, right? Then there is the part that is not directly on the flame, but is still pretty hot. And then the third section that we talk about is the part of the blech that's not hot at all, okay? Which is, in effect, not really the blech. Okay, so what is the status of something that is not quite on the flame? So Rav Moshe writes here, this tshuva here. You know, the truth is, this is already the issue that's going to come back to. Okay, so what is the issue between whether it is on the flame or whether it is not on the flame? So the truth is, not much. Okay, if it's completely cold, so you can put whatever you want on it, and it's not a problem, it's not going to get hot anyways, right? That's my definition of it. It doesn't work. If it's going to be hot enough that it's going, if it's on an area that's hot enough that's not on top of the flame, so you still have all the problems of mechzik and mevashel, that distinction between being right on top of the flame and not being directly on top of the flame, but still in the blech, doesn't really find itself in too much literature until Rav Moshe all of a sudden makes that distinction. Because Rav Moshe is talking about the old time. Anybody here still make their chulent on the blech? Or everyone's up to kapatz already? Oh, okay. So back in Rav Moshe's time, I saw my grandmother used to make her chulent like this. They would make the chulent on the blech, right? No kapatz, chulent was on the blech, right? So then the question where this whole ladling comes out from is obviously shows up with the chulent. So when it's Shabbos morning, right, so generally, what do we do with our cholent? We take it out, right, and serve it, right? It's not a big deal. When does this really come up? Friday night. If anybody wants the Friday night cholent, okay? So this is the big shiloh of the Friday night cholent.
Or if you want to put it back on.
Or if you want to put it, any time that you want to continue, let it, allow it to continue to heat up, that's where this question is going to come up. Okay? So if I have my, so Rav Moshe says that if I have my pot on the fire, right, that's where I got my cholent going, it's 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 going. Okay. So then, what did that Mishnah Berurah say, right? If you recall, that Mishnah Berurah said, Ein lahachmir klal benisbashla kol tzarcho ve'eino al ha'esh. It's not on the fire. So Rav Moshe says, look, this chumrah is on top of another chumrah, on top of another chumrah. We certainly don't have to be any more machmir than the Mishnah Berurah was. So what were the Mishnah Berurah's words? The Mishnah Berurah's words were, on top of the fire. But if it's not on top of the fire, even though it's in a place that's very hot, so says Rav Moshe, you're allowed to continue to spoon out from there. You're allowed to spoon out from that point. So if you have a fire, and now you want to take the chillin down. So if you recall last week, we spoke about chazara, which we're going to get to shortly, right? We're going to get back to that. Right, we talked about that you take it off, and in order to put it back on, you have to hold on to it the whole time, and you have to have in mind that I'm going to be putting it back, and you have to have all those things in mind. Rav Moshe says that if you move it off the fire, but it's still on the blech, and it's still very hot, right? You don't have to worry about chazara anymore. Right? So you can move it over a little bit. So Rav Moshe says, aha, so you move it off the fire now. You have the best of both worlds. You don't have to worry about chazara anymore. Right? Because it's still on the blech. It's still in a hot place. You don't have to worry about chazara. And you don't have to worry about hagasa anymore. Because the Chafetz Chaim only said that I have to worry about it when it's on the fire. So now it's off the fire a little bit, so I'm allowed to deal with that. So this comes up, I guess, with cholent and with soup, all of these types of things, right? If you're using a blech and it's on the hot part of the ching and you want to ladle out, so you nudge it over a little bit and then you can ladle out from that point. Okay, so that's so far. That's where we're holding. Yeah.
Make an assumption that if you take it off without the intention of returning it, then there's no problem of using the ladle.
If
you take it off the fire,
yeah,
with no intention,
right,
back to the fire,
right,
and then you know,
let's you just put it on.
Yeah. That's
and
fine.
You're allowed to use a ladle, but
right.
you cannot cook it.
Right.
And if they can evenly distribute it on the block, then you can't rely on this, right?
If you are an evenly distributed. You're a water bluff person.
Is that a bluff for this purpose?
That would be considered a bluff, right? This is the answer to Mr. Stieglitz's question. If you're a Kedera bluff person, right? So what is a Kedera bluff? You basically merge the two, right? You have Kedera al gabi Kedera on top of right, and it's a bluff. It's the same thing, right? So if that's the case, I don't think those that allow the Kedera bluff would allow you to spoon out right there.
Isn't the Kedera bluff, it's hot equally, so there's no,
right, it's hot
there's
equally.
No less heat.
Right. Mr. Stieglitz asked if you have a pot on top of another pot, but that's on top of the fire, can I ladle out in that situation, right? So I think, my feeling is just, you know, at least in the case of the Kedera bluff, it would not be allowed. Now, the reason it's not allowed in the Kedera in that situation is the reason why people don't necessarily like the Kedera bluff in the first place. I mean, those that are against it don't assume that that's, because it doesn't look any different than a regular bluff. But assuming that it's okay, right, assuming like the authorities that say that it's fine, I don't think that they would allow this kula in that situation. But I would guess.
In that situation, you would just have to take the pot off and keep it off?
In that situation, no. Or I could take it off and then I hold on to it. Then I could ladle out while I'm holding on to it. Then I have in mind to put it back, et cetera, and then I'm allowed to.
In reality, the Kedera bluff has the same issue. It's warm in one area and cool in another area.
The Kedera?
It is or
it's
not?
It's hot everywhere.
No. It's not.
I've used it with people. Say,
I can tell you about the different parts of the bluff.
Okay, we'll try it on time.
Don't hurt yourself. This experiment is not being taken part of under the auspices of the Congregation of Beth Hamidrash.
Okay. I have a question about the Kedera bluff.
Yes.
Then what's the point of a Kedera bluff versus a bluff?
Because then you don't have to worry about the Kedera al gabi Kedera. I mean, if I want to take something out of the fridge, the advocates of the Kedera bluff claim that I could take a potato kugel out of the fridge and put it right onto the.
But you can't ladle something.
Right, but ladling something while it's sitting on the Kedera bluff, I would guess it would not be fans of. But I'm not sure.
I'm confused with something that Barry said. He said if you take something, this is a regular bluff, I think he was talking about, you take your pot of soup off the heat and you move it where it's slightly cooler. And you said if you don't have the intention of returning it, then you can ladle. So my question is...
Yeah, if you do have the intention of returning it, you can ladle also.
Okay,
yeah.
That's my question.
Yeah, right. Yeah. I'm still a little confused about the language of the Shulchan Aruch here, which might be what Barry is referring to. But, well, that's a halacha. The Mishnah Berurah said it's okay if it's as long as it's off the fire, right? So that's a little line on that, assuming it's fully cooked. Mm-hmm. Right, that line, right, Barry, that line that we say that we're talking about, that if it's moved off, you're not supposed to mix it up, that's talking about where it's not fully cooked. Where it is fully cooked already, so the chumrah of the kolbo wouldn't apply if it's on the fire. Okay.
But there is a problem with soup, because if you keep it on the bluff, you are concentrating because you're getting evaporation of the liquid. So then there is a tendency then to mix it, because you've... It's a different consistency than when originally placed on.
Yeah, but that's not a cooking issue. I hear you saying. I mean, it's causing evaporation, so is that an issue of vishal? I don't know. Chazal hasn't defined that as a problem with vishal. You know, to take something, even though to put it around on the bluff, where you know it's going to evaporate more. I think that's we don't define that as vishal. Okay. All right. So now there is another. Okay. So now I want to move into the crock pot issue, and then that gets into the very contentious issue of the Friday night shulchan. Okay. So there is a crock pot issue as well. So the crock pots are very good, in that we don't have to worry about that. You kind of just leave it there, and that's wonderful, right? It's a big convenient thing. You don't have to clean those pots, and you have to clean the crock pot, whatever. Okay,
now, it, now they have liners.
Now they have liners, yes. We are a liner family. In the beginning, we did not use the liners. I remember my mother, I would not let her use the liners. I cleaned the shul pot myself because the liners messed it all up. Now it seems to be working better. But there is a couple of halachic issues that were discussed with the crock pot when it first came out. Okay, so the main issue... So the main issue is that there is a prohibition involved with cooking of hatman, of insulating the thing as well. That you're not allowed to insulate something on Shabbos. Now there's a lot of rules and regulations on this. We speak about some of the details of this perhaps another time. But there's two types of insulating. There's number one, the type of insulation where you are going to be adding heat, where the insulation itself adds heat. And there's another type of insulation where the insulation itself isn't adding heat, but you're putting in a situation where you're going to be retaining heat. So one is not supposed to be doing that on Shabbos, assuming several conditions are met, right? So for instance, to take a this urn, right, and to completely enwrap it in something that will be tight-fitting to the urn would be an isser of hatmana on Shabbos. It would be an isser of insulating on Shabbos. Okay, so we're not allowed to do that because there's several conditions that are met. Number one is the pot is being held very tightly, right? Number two is that it's entirely closed, whatever. And the third one is for the purpose of adding heat to the object inside that it is.
Within Vishal is that additional prohibition.
Yeah.
Can you do this before Shabbos, or you can't do it at all?
Can I do it before Shabbos? So you can't use one of the blankets. Yeah, so one is not supposed to do this on Shabbos. You're not supposed to have hatmana with something that is being mosif hevel on Shabbos. I mean, there's a type of, you could do it, look at the blankets in a second. I didn't think anyone actually had the blankets. You have a blanket also? All right, so we'll talk about blankets in a second. The towels, yeah, the blankets, towels, we'll talk about them. One second. But just to answer Rita's question, in terms of Hatmana Shemosif Hevel, if there's something that is adding heat to it, such that like there, if I put like hot coals into the enwrapment or something like that, so that I shouldn't have on Shabbos at all. Okay, that's a problem that we don't want to do that. But generally speaking, we're not having that issue. It could be crockpots are that issue. That was the question that was raised, was crockpots. But before we get to that, the blankets. So what's the issue with the blankets? Are blankets permissible? So I remember I think when we got married, someone like our Israeli cousin brought us this Shabbos blanket. And we were like, what in the world is this? Like, we don't have any kids yet. Like, what? Like, what special Shabbos? We didn't know what it was. Maybe it's just hanging from the wall. We didn't know. And then we figured out that it's this fireproof thing that in theory you could put on top of your hot plate, and it will make everything a lot warmer, a lot hotter. So I thought, wait a second, that seems to be an Isra and Shabbos of Atmana. So the answer is it's not. So why is it not? So one of the requirements for something to violate Hatmana is that it be a tight-fitting thing, and that it all be, and that it be completely enwrapped. So these Shabbos blankets, unless you are completely enwrapping a pot, right, is not going to do that, because you're generally going to have one or two or three pots there, and you're going to cover the entire thing. And if you're covering the entire thing, so you don't have a violation of Hatmana anymore.
Where did the blankets go? Around the blanket or on the
It's like this. You know, you have your three pots sitting on your hot plate, or four pots, right? And you just put a blanket on top like that.
This is before Shabbos.
You can do it on Shabbos also.
So what is that? Why is it us?
It's not that.
But what you start tight fitting an insulator. Why would that be?
So the reason is because actually, it gives the reason here. they would insulate. Oh, here, why hatman is prohibited? Hatman is prohibited because it can lead to the malacha of bishul and maver. The danger exists because the average individual insulates his warm food does so out of strong concern that the food be warm enough for Shabbos. In the event that the individual discovers that the food was not kept warm enough, he is likely to forget that it is Shabbos and place the food on a proper flame, thus transgressing bishul. All right. So there's a concern that if somebody is so concerned that their food is hot, they're then going to then put it on a fire and adjust the flame accordingly.
You can't do that.
What? Yeah, but that's a separate. It's a separate thing. We prohibited.
Point of insulation to basically guarantee that it will be hot enough. And if you don't have the insulation, if you don't have this tight-fitting blanket,
right,
then you're more likely to be happy with how warm your food is, and then you'd be more likely.
Right. So I think it was to encourage the use of a blech, maybe, or to encourage the use of these alternative means. If I say, all right, I'm just going to stick it in the ground, right, assuming the ground is something that's warm, you know, we'll keep it warm, right? I'm going to stick it in the ground, so then the next morning, if it's not warm enough, I'm stuck, right? And then I might go stoke the coals. As opposed to if I do it the regular way, with a blech, etc., so then I'm not concerned, you know, then I can, maybe, that's just a guess, that's not, I don't know. Okay?
If the hatmana doesn't add, our hatmana doesn't add heat, you said, what is
it? No. That's, if you have a hatmana that's adding heat, that's even prohibited to set up before Shabbos.
How does the hatmana add heat?
If you have coals in it, or perhaps if you're using perhaps if you're using a crock pot. So now that brings us into the crock pot issue. Okay, so when crock pots first came out, so the story goes is that someone suggested it to Rav Shlomo Zalman, or showed it to Rav Shlomo Zalman, or whatever. And Rav Shlomo Zalman thought it was an issur of hatmana. Why was it an issur of hatmana? Because I am basically taking the ceramic pot, right, and putting it in something that is surrounding it with heat, and it's going to be adding heat. So that's a problem of hatmana with a davarish mosif hevel. So why is it not a problem of hatmana to davarish mosif hevel?
Because you're not removing the covering; it's permanent.
Unless you could take it out.
It's
open on top. Excellent, because it's not completely covered, right? The main restriction, as is found here in Shulchan Aruch, is that it has to be completely encircled. Let's just take a look at the source, the third one from the bottom, right? In Rishon and Gimel Sif Aleph, so that's a very long sif, but yet it's took out. We've learned various parts of it over the last couple of weeks. Here's another part of it. Kol zeh b'inyan shah shekederi yushemes al kisei shel barzeh o agabi avanim ve'inenu gas b'gacham. It's not actually touching the coals. Aval hatmana al gabi gacham divrei hakol aser. But to do hatmana on top of the gacham, so that we're not allowed to do, that's the Mosif Hevel business they were just talking about. Comes the Rama, V'yesh Omrim, Da'afilu im ha-kedera omedes al gabe ha-esh mamish, even though the kedera is directly on the fire, kol zman shehi migula limala lo mikre ha-tatmana v'shari v'chein minhug. That as long as it is uncovered on top, that it's not completely covered, so then it's not called hatmana, and therefore it is mutter. So based on this, that's why we assume that the crockpots are mutter, right? That the crockpots are, although they are surrounding the pot, right, it is, the top of the pot is not being surrounded, and therefore it's mutter. There are some that don't necessarily, there are Rishonim that disagree with this, Rama. There are Rishonim who say, maybe it doesn't necessarily have to cover the entire. Yeah, so that might be one reason to be machmir. That's why you might find there are crock pots that only have a bottom. Right? You've seen these?
Yeah.
Right. There's a specific one. There's a specific crock pot that only heats up from the bottom. Then we have one that only goes up a little bit on the side, whatever. But that's perhaps I'm not sure that whatever the companies that made them were being choshish for those Rishonim. They may have been. they may have been being choshish for those Rishonim. But there are those that are concerned for those Rishonim. Okay.
What about a hot water insulated hot water urn that cooks from the bottom, but it's insulated all over?
Right. So these urns, right?
The cookie. No, I'm talking about the ones that are insulated pump. Yeah.
Right. So the pump itself is not. It can only be hatmana if it's hatmana the meaning a pot is not doing hatmana for a potato kugel. Right? That's the pot that's holding the potato kugel. That's not an issur of hatmana. With urns like this, or any type of urn where you wanna wrap it up so that it stays a little bit warm, the caterer I used to work for in Hilkos used to do this because I'm not sure why. I had a huge urn and it wasn't always hot enough. So if you would take a sweatshirt or a towel and completely unwrap it, so that would be a problem of hatmana. So what they recommend is that you like put a plate or something on top such that it's not wrapped tightly around the urn, rather so that there's a little bit of space and now you're no longer violating this or hatmana.
The pump, I presume it's insulated all over.
Yeah. So but the pump's the pump. That's the way it's made. That's the way it's made. You're not doing any action to
add something.
Yeah.
I'm not sure why it's.
No, the crock pot is separate. It's a separate pot. Right? You're taking a pot and putting it in.
Some of them have
all kinds.
Yeah, what?
Some pot pots have built-in liners.
Right. So those, then you would say that those are just the pot. Right. So that wasn't what he was talking about. Right. Those have other problems. Okay, so now, taking all of this together, we'll talk about that Friday night chillin'. All right, mm-hmm. But now all of a sudden, the whole idea gets...
The crack pot still has glass cover.
Right.
So wouldn't that be...
Right, so isn't the cover hatmana? So the cover is not considered hatmana. The cover is considered that we want to keep the bugs out, or we want to... It's not considered a problem of hatmana. Right? Normal pots have...
It also prevents evaporation.
Okay. That's a good thing. I mean, that's not...
because when the water goes
right.
back in,
it promotes heat.
Even it won't cook as fast.
Right, but it's not the primary purpose. The fourth requirement of hatmana is that it's got to be there for the purpose of restricting, keeping heated. Yeah.
So what about before you put the cover onto your crock pot, covering it with foil, and then put the cover on top of the foil to seal it better so it doesn't evaporate? Covering the pot with a piece of foil and then the cover.
Why are you putting the cover on?
To keep the foil in place.
Okay. There you go.
So that's okay.
There you go. Generally, there's other open spots among the, right? It's not completely unwrapped anyways. Right?
Well, this is just the top.
The Ramah said openly that if you have the top that's not violating hatmana, you don't have to worry about it anymore. That's what the Ramah said. What he really means is that it has to be completely wrapped up. So even though you might have the top, you might have a second thing on top of there, it's not, if it's not completely wrapped up, it's not an issue. So
okay. And what about putting some foil, like if you have the one, any kind of crock pot, either the one with the ceramic and has the round frame, the metal frame, or the one that has the heat only on the bottom.
Okay.
What about covering it with a piece of foil?
Right, so the purpose of that is to create a blech.
A blech.
Right.
So it needs it?
That goes back into our machlokas that we had last week of what's the purpose of the blech. Is the blech supposed to be separating the food from the heat source, or is the blech supposed to be on the knob? Right. So some say, if the crock, we might as well just do both. You just put some tin foil on top of the knob and some tin foil underneath, and that's solving your blech problem. Also, the other way of solving the hatmana issue is that even if you're not so comfortable with the cap, ask the Ramah, Rishon disagree, etc. So one of the ways that they recommend solving the hatmana issue is to take balls of tinfoil. Have you seen this? You take balls of tinfoil, drop that into the case, so then when you put the crock pot, then you put the pot on top of the balls of tinfoil, so that for sure the bottom part is not completely
That's
wrapped
right,
up anyways.
Have that big good.
Okay, so now with all of this combined, let's do a couple of let's do some things lemaisa. Okay, Friday night. Okay, now it's a good thing we're talking about this week. This is going to be the first week of the universal Friday night chillin', perhaps, right? Because Shabbos starts at about 2 p.m. and you finish dinner by about 4:30, and by the time it's 8:00, we're hungry again. Okay, so how can I get some chillin'? Fine, even if you're sleeping, maybe you have a son home from yeshiva who's not yet sleeping, that requires some chillin'. So how do we get the chillin' out of the pot? Okay, So number one, let's do this. Can I just take chilled out of the pot?
Not on the fire, no.
So why not?
Because it's on the fire.
It's on the cooking.
Because of the chumra of the koldo, correct? Okay. So now, what is the way? What is my approach? If I have a pot on the flame, so really the best thing is just to move it over a little bit so it's not on the fire, and I don't have to worry about chazara, right? And I could dish out that way. All right. So all you blech people, okay, we're taking care of the chulent of the. I don't think nobody here makes chulent on the blech, right? So that doesn't. If anybody goes to their grandparents' house and sees, okay. What about if you have a crock pot? So what is often done is when we put all of this together, what comes out now is that you would take the insulator out, right? You would take the insert out, right? Hold on to it the whole time, right? Put it down, take off the top, dish some out, put it into a cup. Right, put the cover back on, right, and put it back into the thing.
You said hold on to it, but you
need to. It's a two-person job.
Okay. So if you want, I only have a one-person job. If you only have one person around, meaning your wife doesn't want you to take any, you're having guests tomorrow,
it's
and
not
she,
for you, anyway.
You know, and not on tape. It's cool. Yes. Shabbos, of course, is good for you. But you know, you're being warned that there's company coming tomorrow. You're not allowed to have any of the children, right? But and you want some anyways. Okay, so so. You're going to have a problem, right? It's kind of hard to, unless you are very strong, right, to hold on to the insert in the air and to, which is hot, mind you, and to dish stuff out into your thing is going to be a pretty difficult thing for one person to handle. Okay?
Holding the lid, too.
Yeah, you got to hold the lid off. You got to put the lid down.
Three-person job.
Oh, you can put the lid down. I think everybody would agree you can put the lid down. So you can put the lid down, right? Dish out, put in a cup, put the lid back up, put it on. It's going to be very hard for one person to handle. For two people to handle, it's not so bad, right? If somebody would hold it like this, right? Right. And the other person could serve. Okay, so that, if one wants to do that, right, you will be, I think you would say kol hadeus. Okay. Let's say that's not we're not so into that. You have a heavy chill and pile, whatever, and you want to put it down. So what about putting it down? Is putting it down an issue as long as I'm still holding on to it?
You have to have a mind to put it back.
So I have to have a mind to put it back, right? But is putting it down okay? I'm holding on to it. I have a mind to put it back, but I'm putting it down on the counter. So if we take a look, I put down the thing from last week. Yeah, that's the second source from the bottom. Ki rishihi grufa viktuma. We're going to review. This is the halacha of chazara. Ki rishihi grufa viktuma, right? You have the kira that's covered and the stuff is hidden and it's not a problem anymore. V'nata al-kadair mi'ali achilu b'shabbos. And you take the kadair off even on Shabbos. Mutter lahachzira. And now here are the conditions again. Kol zman shihi. A. Rotachas, that it's hot. Two, it's still in your hand. Three, lohinicha al gabe karka. And it was never put down on the ground. Four, you had a mind to put it back. V'dafka al gabe valatocha aser. And only on top of it, you can't put it into it, okay? So now we take a look at v'ode v'yado v'lohinicha al gabe karka. Right, now what is that? Is that one problem? Is that one condition? Or is that two conditions? You see that? Oda biyado, it's still in your arm, and it wasn't put down onto the ground. Is that one condition, or is it two conditions? So you think it's one condition?
Yeah.
Right, I have to be holding it and can't put it down onto the ground.
Oh.
So the
and agave.
Right. So there is a lot of discussion. If you take a look, right, you see it's bold, it's regular, and then it becomes italics, then it becomes regular, then it becomes italics again. You see that? Mm-hmm. Right? So that's not just because I played around with the computer, right? That's because it is, right, what is the italics when you have in the Shulchan Aruch, right? We've gone through this a few times. Right? The bold is the Mechaber, right, Rav Yosef Karo, writing the Shulchan Aruch for Sfarnim. And the italics is the Ramaz edition for Ashkenazim. So this line, it's a little bit, not just a little bit, it's pretty unclear who wrote what exactly, and what exactly they meant, and whether they're meant to be merged together or not. right? So is it that both of them have to happen? That has to be in my hand and can't go on the ground? Or is it that maybe one or the other? Either it can't go down the ground or it's still in my hand. How's that working exactly? It's unclear. But maybe it's two different. Maybe it's one or the other. I mean, I just have to demonstrate that I haven't forgotten about it. But if you assume that it's both, which seems to be the way you would read it, so now you're going to have a problem. You can hold the chulent in midair. That's not a very easy job, right? And the chances of that messing up is, you know, you drop it or you forget about it. But it's not such a simple thing. There have been disasters of such a nature in certain camps that I've attended. It's not necessarily recommended. So what many would do is, I think the olam is makel. Most people are makel, and you're allowed to put it down. What does it mean, put it on the ground? Put it on the ground, the time of the Gemara meant to put it on the cold ground, which is our equivalent to putting it in the fridge. Right, if you're not putting it in the fridge, you're just putting it on the counter and you're holding on to it the whole time, you're probably, according to most authorities, fulfilling your requirements of chazara. Okay? So that's option number two. I could take it out of the crock pot, put it down on your, either on the counter if you have granite, or on a trivet if you don't, right? And you put it down and you scoop out, right? Put the cover back on, then put it back in. Okay. As long as you continue to hold on to it all the time.
Are you allowed to put it on a blech? Suppose you have a blech on your stove.
Okay.
And you have a crock pot.
That would work. That would work. That would work.
Do you have to hold on to it?
That would work. Do you still have to hold on to it?
As long as it's not the...
No, if you're putting it on the blech, that's not the part of the blech with the flame, but it's still the very hot part of the blech.
You're moving it from one blech to another.
Right, right. So that, right, you're moving it from one area to the other, which we're going to see in a second is mutter. Okay? So that's okay. Those of us that don't have blech, so we wouldn't have that option. Yeah.
So this is, we're talking about Sean. Does this apply to anything? Like, for instance, suppose you have a tea kettle on it.
Yeah.
And you do the same thing with that?
Well, a tea kettle, you would pour...
It's liquid, right?
Well, as long as it stays hot, it's fine. But you would usually take a key tea kettle, pour it into a cup, and put it back on, right?
I'm not sure what you're... Right, you want to dip, like, put it... Like it was easier to pour it if it was resting.
Yeah. So I think we are most posts I think are makel on that you're allowed to put it down.
Okay.
If that's
right.
Especially if it's clear that the reason you're putting it down is that it weighs 35 pounds. Right? But it's clear, like, that's the reason, so then you start you don't have to worry so much about the mesikim and vashel issue.
If you had cholent in your crock pot instead of, I mean, soup in crock pot instead of cholent,
yes,
you could still do it the
I
same
think
way?
It's the same din. Yeah, I think it would be the same din. In these certain camps that I've been to, the cholent resembled soup a lot more than it resembled kugel or something. Okay. The third option, which we dismissed right away because of the chumrah of the kolbo, is maybe the better option. My humble opinion is the better option, which is to just dish it right out of the crock pot. Why is that? Because just in case somebody missed last week's shiur and only came to this week's shiur, right? Chazara is very confusing. Right? The idea of chazara that we're going to continue to hold on to it is a confusing proposition. A. B, realize that unless you're going to hold it in midair, right? You're going to put it down, so you're already relying on a kula. Right? That already is you're relying on a kula. I mean, I think it's mutter, right? Most posts can assume that it's mutter, but you're relying on a kula. So why is it better to rely on that kula than it is to rely on what the Mishnah Berurah says is most posts can assume against the kolbo. Most posts can assume that once something is mevushal kol tzarcho, so that it's actually mutter to dish straight out of it. So I remember when I taught this the first time in Phoenix, I spoke with Rabbi Willig that day. I asked him this question. I said, hey, Rabbi Willig is who I learned Hilchos Bishul with, and why not all of this is in his opinion, not all of this is his shitos, but... we speak the same language, obviously. So I remember I asked him this question. I said, if you wanted the Friday night cholent, if your options are, right, take it, be machmer like the kolbo, take it out, right, put it down, right, dish out, right, you're relying on a kula about dishing it out, right, the kolbo is a chumra al gabi chumra al gabi chumra, right, or is it better to just not forget about the whole thing, just take chulnd out and put it down? Yes, you're losing the kolbo, but I no longer have any shilas of chazara. Right, so which is better? And I think lachor it's either or. So some people got upset. What do you mean the whole world, etc. Those kinds of things. So okay, I'll leave the option out to everybody. All right. So the options are yours. If one wants to be completely machmir, right, and for sure be yotzei kol adeos, and you need to have the chillin Friday night, you can take it out, hold on to it in midair, or put it on a blech that's hot, right, and dish out from that. That will, but not on top of the fire, right? You'll be yotzei l'kol adeos for sure. If you don't have that option, l'fi anias daisi, my humble opinion, I don't think that you're gaining anything by putting it down on the counter and dishing out from there, rather than dishing straight out of the crock pot itself. So, everybody, tavol avracha, I think it's okay, but that's my opinion in that. Any questions? There's just two more things I want to cover, but any questions
what
on that
you don't
issue?
Dish it out and you just, on Shabbos, you take the bread and you pour it into something.
Hmm?
In other words, there's a liner.
The liner, right. Liner.
So what if you take the whole bag out,
right,
and you pour it into a big
circle? Right. So now what do you want to do?
And then you put a spoon in it, you know, like it's...
Right, but wait, you want to put anything back?
No.
Oh, no, if you're not putting it... This is all talk... the whole problem here is putting it back.
Ah.
If I want to take it off and put it back... Mm-hmm. Right, so now I got that's where I get into these chazara, right, returning issues. But if I'm not putting it back, so just take it off and enjoy. Right, like this. So that's what happened in Marsha. This became such a tumult every week, and so everyone fighting back and forth. They're serving two chillets. It's not as much fun though, because then you don't whatever you don't get the the rating credit. Okay, so any questions on that? Any questions? Any other things? Okay, so I just want to cover two more topics. Number one is adding water to the chillant, all right? So I wake up Friday morning, Shabbos morning, and smell quite right, right? And looks like it's going to burn. So is there any issue with adding water to the chillant? So I certainly can't add cold water, right? If I take cold water and put it in, so I'm cooking cold water, right? That's the problem. That's an issur d'oraisa of cooking. What if I want to add hot water? Okay, so there's two options, right? Where do I have hot water? So I usually have hot water in my urn. I have hot water on the stove in my, whatever those things, the pot, right? So I have those, so here in this sefer, he has two options, right? Two options. Either I could take the crock pot to the urn, or I could take the urn to the crock pot, right? I would take the crock pot to the urn, that I would remove the insert, right? Bring it over to the urn, right? And just, put the water directly into the crock pot.
You need your team.
What?
You need one person to look. You need your team.
You need the team.
You need the committee to come back.
Somebody has to open up the spigot on that.
Right, assuming that the thing is going to be held in midair, right, so you're going to need a team.
As Michonne, you don't put it in a...
Right, and that way you avoid, right, you would avoid, the, right, that's fine, because it's clear you're going directly into piping hot chillin. Right, so then you're fine. What?
It's cliché.
Well, no, it's still a Kli Rishon because it was still on the fat, right? So you're basically taking Kli Rishon water and putting it into a Kli Rishon. What about if I take Kli Sheni water and put it, right? Let's say I don't want to do that. I don't have a team around. I don't have an insert. What? Oh, there is an issue, right. I wasn't going to touch on that. There is a question that some raise the issue as, are you making your urn fleshik by doing so, because you have the steam of the chillin going into the thing. So the general... In Yoredeya, when we talk about the steam issue, it has to be, like, we usually only talk about it in regards to when it's a enclosed area. So if it's directly right up to the spigot, that might be an issue. But if there is a separate, it's, as long as it's not, like, in the thing, I don't think it's really that big. And nothing splatters up or anything like that. I don't think it's really that big of a problem. But what about the, I don't want to do that, right? I can't bring the urn all the way over to, the chilled all the way to the urn. So can I take, is there any issue with taking a cliché-y water and putting that into the chillant? So probably not. The Mishnah Berurah says not. The Mishnah Berurah says that that's okay. So to take water from the to just take your urn and pour, put it into a kli and take that kli and then put that into the chulin, so that Lishmer says that that's okay.
You don't have to take the chulin insert out.
I don't think so. I think plus then you run into it's. I think it's the same cheshbon as we did with the taking the chulin out Friday night. Right, it's the same thing. I'm relying on either I'm taking a kula in terms of the chazara, or I'm taking a kula in terms of the kolbo, of the hagasa. I'm taking a kula in chazara, or a kula in hagasa. Either kula in the returning part, or kula in the mixing part. I think it's the same kula. I think it's the same. You know, I don't think you're really gaining much one way or the other. He says you are. Right? Rabiyat says you are. Rabiyat says you should take the insert out and pour it into there. Phineas Dicey, I'm not sure why you're gaining so much. Okay? And then finally, one more thing that I wanted to just bring out. This is kind of opens up the doors to another thing, but kind of gathers the whole shiur together, right? And that is the issue of ketchup. Okay? The all-important issue of ketchup on Shabbos. Right? So let's say I take what? What could possibly be the issue with ketchup on Shabbos? So, number one, ketchup is usually cold, right? I think that's right, we pretty much all agree here that we enjoy our ketchup cold. Okay, ketchup is also generally a liquid. Right? Anybody here have solid ketchup? No. Okay. So ketchup is generally a liquid, which would mean that it is subject to the chumrah of bishul achar bishul bidavar lach. Right? Yesh bishul achar bishul bidavar lach. That it could be cooking after cooking when it's something that. Okay. So now, what's the issue with ketchup? Now, I want to take my chicken, right? I have my chicken in my oven.
The ketchup is already cooked.
The ketchup is already cooked, but again, bishul achar bishul b'davar lach, that by liquids there's a possibility, as the machlokes we've shown them, but we generally try to be machmir, that one could, that you, it is possible to recook liquids. Okay? So now, what do I do? So now there's another chumrah. There's another chumrah that we haven't spoken about yet, and that is what we call a davar gush. What is a davar gush? Anybody know? Davar gush is like a solid type of food, like a potato kugel, piece of meat, piece of chicken. That's what you call a davar gush. So let's say I take a davar gush out of the fire, out of the oven, right? I put that on my plate, right? If I would take water out of the oven and put it on my plate, what would be the status of that water? It would be kli sheni, right? What about if I take chicken out of the oven and put that on my plate? What is that? Chicken now?
Lunch.
What?
Lunch.
Right, what is the halachic status of that chicken? And don't say shahakal. Right, what is the halachic status of that chicken? So some assume that it's what we call a davar gush, that it's solid. That the kula of a kli sheni, the leniency of a kli sheni, only applies to liquids. Right? Because a liquid will go in, and a liquid will touch the walls, and will whoosh around, right? And will become, right, it will cool off based on going into another vessel. But if it's something that's solid, so that kula doesn't apply, says some Rishonim, the Chumrah of the Maharshal, right, this is from the 1100s or so. What? Oh, okay. Right? So if that's the case, so listen to this Chumrah, right? We take two and two together, and is this going to be a problem? I take my chicken out of the oven, I put it on my plate. Take my plate out, right? And now I'm sitting ready to eat. Scratch my head and say, wait a second. Right, so what's the status of my chicken? My chicken now has a status of kli rishon. Now, I scratch my head and say, wait a second, I can't have chicken without ketchup. Right? I take my ketchup out of the fridge. What is the status of my ketchup? My ketchup is liquid. My liquid is now coming in contact with my kli rishon. Perhaps I'm heating up the liquid and I'm violating bishul on the ketchup.
But
it's gatzalezah. Chicken's gatzalezah.
Well, if you can eat it, you can put it in your mouth. No.
What do you mean hot tea? I drink hot tea. That's not gatzalezah. I hope.
Okay.
Right. I hope. So can I put ketchup on my food on Shabbos? So that question was asked to Rav Moshe. Either way, right? Either way, it's going to be the same problem because if I have kli rishon ketchup, chicken coming in contact with the ketchup, I'm heating up the ketchup. Gevalt.
Does anybody serve ketchup on Shabbos? With hot food.
You haven't been to our house. ain't chicken vali ketchup. That's our motto.
Rabbi, how long is the chicken kli rishon?
Until it's not so hot.
It's not kli rishon.
until what we call Yatzel Espo. Yeah. So is this an issue in the first place? So they asked Rav Moshe this question. Rav Moshe, what about the ketchup? And Rav Moshe said, what's ketchup? No, he did not say what's ketchup. He said, this is what I think the halacha is. The question was asked in a way that kind of led to what the answer was, that what are we doing? We're going to rely on two kulas. The Rishayin Litain ketchup al basar rosach on hot meat shenitain l'kli sheni. Da'af im nachmir gam shtei chumros, that even if we're machmir for both chumros, right, the chumra of davar gush and the chumra of bishlach ar bishl b'davar lach, right, that liquids could be reheated, and this concept of davar gush, even if I want to be machmir for both chumras, hu b'shtei chumros shehu safek mamish kol chumra, that both of them are suffiks, she'af shehu sveik sveika, that it's a full, it's a double suffik, ulai yesh lahachmir b'shavs shum chumraso, but yet we're always machmir and shavs, maybe we should be machmir, aval hacha chumra di'ish bishal achar bishal b'davar lach hu chumra b'alma shegedoli haposkim savri, that this davar gush the bishal achar bishal b'davar lach is a big chumra that many Poskim agreed, he said not to do. The gambalach in bishlach or bishul. The chain hu achmaras harama. Menoagin kain. The raksha ben itstanin legamri machmir. And the Rama said only if it's completely cold you should be machmir. Really, he said you can be mekel. The gama chum v'davar gush af kli sheni hu adayin karus karoseach hu pligi harbe alzeu besochem harama. And this chumra that a davar gush is hot in a kli sheni, right? Many argue against that. Even the Rama argues against it. So because those are two chumras, and yes, maybe individually we'll be machmir for both of them, 2 + 2 doesn't always equal 4. Right? He's saying to put the two chumras together in order to form this ultimate chumra that would cause tremendous, tremendous problems in the gross home, so that Rav Moshe said, that we don't have to do. That we don't have to be machmir on, one could have their ketchup with their, and eat it too, with their chicken. Okay?
So what if you took your chicken and put it on a platter? And then from your platter, you took it to your
right,
plate.
Right. So the davar gush kula, the davar gushes are going to stay. Doesn't get affected by the walls. So even if you put it on a platter, it's not going to help.
So what
are
the two kulas again?
One so kula A is that. No, sorry. It's really two chumras, right? Chumra A is that a piece of chicken is going to retain its heat even though it's on another plate, right? That many disagree with, including the Rama. Right? The second chumra is that there is yish bishul achar bishul b'davar lach, that there is going to be cooking after another cooking when it comes to something liquid. That yes, we are strict for it, right? We are strict for it. We're not going to reheat liquids, but to put the two of them together such that I won't even be able to put my ketchup on my chicken, so that Rav Moshe says one is not obligated to do. Okay, good. Yes, so I think we'll have something else. Yes, insulation.
While heating up a challah, wrapping it in foil?
Yeah. Yeah, if that's the purpose, so I think that's a problem. I think we said that's
a
problem.
I was told that you have to leave a piece of the foil open.
Right, if you leave some of it open. Right, if you leave some of it open, so then that's not a violation of hatmat anymore, yeah. Okay? All right, good. Yes?
What about a keeping drawer?
I don't want to go there. The warming drawers. There's two warming drawer shilas. Number one is the pre-Shabbos warming drawer shilas, and one is the on-Shabbos warming drawer shilas. To leave something in there from before Shabbos, so the only thing you have to worry about is, right, there's no mechsek in mevashel, right, because I'm not putting anything, I'm not doing any actions, right? So the only thing you have to worry about is the blech issue. So can you put a blech in a warming drawer? So if it's completely cooked already, so technically you don't really need a blech, right? If it's completely cooked and you're not really cooking it, baharaya, what's the proof? Is that it's a warming drawer, not a cooking drawer. So technically it wouldn't require a blech. But to put something in there on Shabbos, so that I think most are not such... I personally am not so excited about that.
No, but the question is, if you take something out once it's out, can you then close it and...
So that the question would then be hatmana, right? And we assume that's not. So some say that it is hatmana, it is completely total, okay, whatever. I think that's okay to close the ovens. It's the same issue with the ovens, right? Can you close the oven door if you think stuff like that? I think personally, I'm making on that.
Okay.
Yish machmir. There are those that are machmir.
Okay. Was that subject of the next class?
Yes. So I.